Spectus Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
I've got to say, I'm really pleased because it's been a long time, and I mean a long time. We've got our friends from the Isle of Wight Military Museum, and we've got Steve Taylor in. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Ian. Everything's happening, and it's good to be able to get down here.
Well, it's good to see you because I know that you know, you were quite a regular before COVID. And then we did some stuff that was, you know, obviously, I think via Zoom and so on. And I think you've been once into the studio, and I know that we came up and did an outside broadcast as well. And so, how are things going at the Military Museum?
Tough is the best expression. You know, we're obviously experiencing the difficulties caused by the financial crisis. People are not coming out as much, not got as much money to spend. Certainly the first part of this year bears no comparison to last year. And it's not good in many ways because obviously our electricity bill's about to double. Minimum wage is going up by £1 an hour. And we've really got to take steps to make sure that we cover all the increased in costs as the year goes on.
I'm guessing, you know, a lot of people now are being hit. They might not have been a year ago, or they might have been, but this is a big hit.
I think it's biting a little bit. I think it's biting a bit. I've got to say, I think the media over-egg it. I don't think things are quite as bad as they like to make out. But I think a lot of the public are taking it on board. And, you know, our visitor numbers, we never get many this time of the year. But I should imagine compared to this time last year, the first 5 weeks, we're probably 50% down on visitor numbers. And that's a big chunk, you know.
But hey,
that's the downside. There's lots of positives. And, you know, we've put plans in place to try and improve the income, and hopefully it'll all work.
Well, let's hope so, because I mean, they are saying about that, you know, that the cost of heating and so on should come down at some point, because I think we kind of panicked a little bit.
Well, I can give you a very good example. My contract runs till June, and back in September, October, we use a broker, and they were saying, look, you need to sign a new contract now for next June because it's only going to go in one direction. And they were quoting me, compared to 19p a kilowatt hour, they were quoting me 72p.
Wow.
For a new contract. And I said, no, I'm going to sit tight and wait. And last week, they came back on and said, we've got a rate of 35p for you. And I thought, I don't think I'm going to do a lot better than that. So I've signed up from June at 35p. Still almost double, but that is manageable. Mm. You know, the previous rate was totally unmanageable.
I would imagine. And I've got to be honest with you, I know that there was a business that was advertising with us that probably went for that rate that you were offered at that particular time, and they're no longer in business. They decided to close their business.
Yeah.
And that's how scary it is. And I know that, I'm with you. I think the media, you know, the national media have been dreadful throughout all of this. It is just an argument as far as they're concerned. And the more people argue, the more people that are listening and looking at their websites and so on. That's not what it should be about. It should be factual. And, you know, I'm glad that you hung on, and I'm glad you got a better deal. But I would imagine there's a lot of people out there that have fell for that one, slipped up. And I mean, we as just a normal family have, you know, we were told, oh, you've got to pay X amount, so we have, and now we're in a position that they say, oh, you're over £1,000 in credit. And you say, right, okay, can we have that back then? And they say, we're going to review it, and they offered us back £250.
Yeah.
And you just think, and then they announce that they've made £35 billion of the profit, and it goes against the grain, doesn't it?
It's, you know, don't get me on the politics.
All right, I won't. While I remember, I've got to ask you something. I'm just going to digress massively.
Because
I know that we've talked about this a couple of times, and I don't think we've ever spoken about this off air. And this will be fascinating, because I know that you said once to me that over the water there used to be a squash club, and you used to run it.
I did. Yeah, the Bargeman's Rest used to be Newport Squash Club. In the days I ran it, it was known as Quayside Leisure, because we turned it from a club into a pub club, if you like, so that anyone could go in rather than just members. Yeah, I was there from 1990 to 1998.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
No.
I don't remember. When you said the Quayside, what was it? The
Quayside Leisure.
Leisure. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
But I can't picture that as anything other than a pub. Yeah. And I can't picture the where were the squash clubs? The squash courts.
Yeah. If you look at the front of the building, the right hand side that was run right on the very end, the left hand side, the first part of the left hand side of the building was a squash club, and then there was another one behind that at the back of the building.
Oh wow! How many courts were there?
Three courts. Yeah.
Because they're not the smallest in the world, are they?
No. But a lot. Very, very expensive place to run. You know, it was a struggle all the time. And banks, as they are, weren't always prepared to give you the support you needed. And so we were forced into a position, realistically, where we had to sell it. And then the Gibbs brothers came along and they wanted to make this fantastic pub out of it, the largest pub on the island. That was their plan. And so we came to a happy arrangement.
Good. And when you said you were struggling there, and then you mentioned at the top of the show it's a struggle at the museum. You've had X amount of years of struggling there.
There's a difference. That was mine.
Yeah.
It was personal. This is a charity. And whilst I've got the same commitment to it, I can, at some stage, I can look away and say, well, you know, they have got their own problems, and it doesn't affect my personal life. Whereas that was a full-on, constant, you know, am I making money to live sort of thing. Whereas up there, you're slightly objective about it. It's not quite the same problems, if you like, not the same stress involved.
Sure. So what is interesting, you missed them by about half an hour. We had a couple of youngsters in from St George's this morning,
right?
And they were very interested in their history, love their history. So it's kind of, I don't know, it gives you a good feeling that people are going to be still interested in places like the Military Museum and so on. So
I can confirm that. We had a visit yesterday, 28 children from Gatton and Lake Primary, right? So they're, I don't know, what, 9, 10 years old, something like that. I had a fantastic email from the teachers this morning. They had a wonderful time, and it really, it's one of those things that makes you feel happy about what you're doing and what you're achieving. You know, they're a great group, and they got the usual treatment, taken round and shown things, handle weapons and things like that, able to get on the vehicles and things, and they had a wonderful time. Now, if that age group going to retain their interest, then the museum's got a great future.
Yeah, definitely.
And on that score, I have actually got a couple of 17, 18-year-olds as volunteers now, and they've been fantastic, and they really are very keen to see things progress. And one of the things I want to talk about is an open day that they are organising effectively.
Oh, wow, that takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Oh,
yeah. When is
22nd of April?
That was a date you sent me through.
I sent you a date through saying, you know, do you want to do an outside broadcast that day?
Well, we'd love to. And sorry, I didn't confirm.
That's
all right. I had to go and see a technical bloke called Kelvin, and he then says, yeah, all right, we can do that. And what we've come up with is, because what we normally do is on a Saturday morning we have short breaks, and there's about six young people that come in and like take over the show. So what we thought would be good is we come to you, do the outside broadcast, and we have those kids
bring
take over
up.
The show. Yeah,
bring them up.
So that's what we're going to do.
I mean, one of the things that are being planned by these guys, we've got a World War II 25-pound field gun. They're going to run that out into the car park, and they're going to use it to fire blanks.
Right.
So as a demonstration, you know.
What do you fire at when you're firing blanks?
Oh, just up in the air.
Oh, right, OK. I say I've got a couple of people if you want a target practice. But I'm...
We can all find those, Ian. Yeah. We can all find those. So, yeah, 22nd of April. It's come about because, for anyone who doesn't know, the Islander aircraft, Islander number 3, is now housed at the museum. And the guys who work on it, all the their own charity, if you like, they're reaching the end of putting it back into what I like to call showroom state, as it would have come off the production line back in 1967. They have set the date as their launch date for the exhibit, and they've invited people from a lot of the aircraft industry to come down, because these people have supported their project over the last 20 years. And so did I reckon they tell me there's about 70 or 80, they call them VIPs, coming along. So I said, right, well, let's make it a day.
Yeah, brilliant.
And that's what we're doing. So it's the BNAPS open day, but we'll be doing, hopefully, reenactments. And obviously the usual things will be available. We'll have the armoured car doing rides. We'll have our truck doing rides. The shooting range will be open. But it's free entry to everybody.
Oh, right. Wow.
And I'm hoping we'll have the car park full of exhibits and stall holders and whatnot. We've already booked the county showground for our car parking. So hopefully it'll turn out to be quite a good, successful day.
So this is huge then, really?
It will be huge. It will be huge, yeah.
And you say, don't take this the wrong way, but someone else is organising this.
Yeah.
So
isn't it lovely?
And these are young people that are organising.
These are young people, yeah, that's right. And that is what really encourages me. When they came to me, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, have they got the experience? Will they know what to do? They've gone off and come up with all these different things they're trying to organise. We've had one meeting with them, because obviously I want to keep an eye on what's going on. And I feel really positive about it. We've got another meeting due very shortly, I think, just to bring it up to date. And then I've got to start thinking of marketing and advertising it to get underway.
Well, you let us know what we need to do.
I'll give you a shout, Ian. I'll tell you, you know. It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
No, it sounds brilliant. It's it's just one of those things that you can put in the diary now and say, right, that's going to be a special day.
Yeah.
And what is lovely, and you've already alluded to, the young people are organising this, and young people are going to be broadcasting from it. So it's all about young people, the next generation.
It's all about young people, yeah.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I mean, we've got, again, diversifying a little bit, we have got a very good relationship as sprung up with the Isle of Wight College, one department there where they are dealing with kids with educational problems, communication problems, things like that. And we've had two coming up on a regular basis with a support worker. And it's going on for a few months now, but the support worker has now felt confident enough. She brings them up, makes sure they're where they are. She'll go back to the college for a couple of hours, then come back up and check on them and whatnot. And I've just had an email asking if we can take another one on.
Fabulous.
And it's great, because it's obviously part of our charitable aims to help people like this. And we can only help them if we know where they are and who they are. So to have a relationship like that build up with the college, I think, is excellent. And with one young man, he's desperate for us to employ him in the kitchen. He's been coming up 2 days a week on the scheme. He himself has extended it to 3 days a week.
Fabulous.
And he keeps asking, when will you be able to employ me? You know, so it really is good. It really is good. And,
oh,
and it involves, as I say, the young people, and feel you're doing something right.
Do you know what? It's lovely, because I know that we were doing a lot with the college as well, probably for that department.
Yeah.
And and obviously COVID kicked in and it all changed, and we had the new head lady that took over at the college last year.
Right.
She's been in, and we're going up to see her about hopefully how we
similar
can,
sort of thing.
Yeah, similar. Yeah. And what is lovely is you give those people opportunity and experience of life, and that sets them on their way for, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, they can go and, you know, do something with it, you know, rather than not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, it's great.
I think it's good.
You're touching wood now.
I'm,
you got a list of stuff. You're organised today. You got a list of stuff that you want to talk about.
I tell you, and all sorts of things have happened, which has started to make my life a bit easier.
Well, can we talk about next week? because we want to remind people.
Oh, half term week. We're trialling the armoured car today on the track to see if the track is roadworthy, for want of a better expression. You know, the vehicle will go over any terrain. However, when you're carrying passengers, there are certain things that have to be right. And with all the wet weather we had until a week or so ago, the track really was just a complete mud bath. So it gets to the stage where it's not 100% safe to take a vehicle around with passengers. It only needs to slide off one of the ramps. And so we're trialling it this afternoon. We're very hopeful that the vehicle rides will be available every day next week. So, you know, anyone out there thinking of coming up, might be an idea even to phone up and book.
Okay, what's the number?
New number. 01983 305555.
Wow, you didn't even have to look at anything, you knew that.
I picked it.
Cool, give us that number again.
01983 305555.
So if you're sat at home now thinking, what are we going to do? It's half term and you've got a whole week at home with the kids and they're going to drive you crazy, this will be perfect.
Yeah.
They can come and have a run around. They can come and, you know, partake in some history, run around a bit more because it's big open spaces and so on.
Yeah.
So, you know, make that call, pop in. And you can get food as well, which is really good.
And I've got exciting news about the cafe. Lady who's been running the cafe very efficiently for me for the last 2-3 years, Brenda, she's been talking about wanting to step back for a long time. I've had an amazing piece of luck, and I've found a lady who I've actually known for about 15 years, who is a professional, has been working in all sorts of establishments. She wanted somewhere where she could slow down a bit, and it all fits in perfectly. And we're talking about homemade dishes being put on the menu, specials. One of her ideas is that when she's got herself, today's only her second day,
right.
So when she's got herself organised and the kitchen's the way she wants it to be, we're looking at doing, probably on a Wednesday, a roast dinner day.
Right, okay.
So, you know,
ears have pricked up.
And that's something else that we'll be marketing when we're ready to do it. And I'm really excited about the prospect. You know, dear Brenda, she was brilliant. I mean, she turned the cafe round for me. But as she admitted herself, the next step needs a professional. And, you know, she's getting to the age where she wants to slow down.
That's fair enough.
So, she's still going to be there. She's not going to pack up altogether, but she won't have all the stress and anxiety of ordering and making sure the staff's right and everything else. That'll all be taken away from her.
All right. So, just coming back to half term, looking forward to the food, by the way. Hours of opening.
Hours of opening, we're open back to our usual hours, which is 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock, with last entry to the museum at 3. The rides will probably take place something like 10:30 through till 3. And they'll be on a regular basis during the day. We haven't as yet, until we find out this afternoon whether we're actually going to run with it, we haven't as yet sat down and worked out a timing for the rides. But when we do, it'll go on the website.
Yep.
Which I don't think that's changed. That's still wmahm.org.uk. All the information for next week will be put on there before the end of this week, i.e. tomorrow, I hope.
Right. You've hopefully got a busy week ahead of you, because, as I say, there'll be lots of people out there be thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do next week?
Yeah.
You know, what if the weather... I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I think it starts off nice and dry.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that the weather's half decent all week. So, I mean, you know, we should point out that you can be outside, you can be inside, you've got something to eat. It's a perfect day out. It really is. So you don't have to stay at home gaming.
Right. You can get out and see a bit of fresh air.
Yeah, sure. I'm just checking that weather forecast, all right, because I think that's most important. So people start planning now. So if you've got the idea of next week, it's half term, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? The weather forecast is fairly good. Monday, Tuesday is perfect. Let me just have a little look. There's no rain on the horizon until possibly Thursday. So,
which is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing with the rides, we will, I think the driver's happy to go out if it's sort of a little bit drizzly, but he's out in the open when he's driving it. So if it's torrential, they won't be happening.
Yeah. No rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So
possibilities on Thursday. Yeah. So book early.
Book early. Get yourselves in and
that new number again, Steve, is
01983 305555.
It wasn't a fluke then. You remembered it.
Oh, yeah. We've had an upgrade in technology, effectively. So we've got a new telephone system, new telephone number. We've got new email addresses. And the email address that's now on the website is inquiries@wmahm.org.uk. Effectively, we've got our own... our own email addresses, using WMAHM. And that's courtesy of Microsoft. We've signed up to Microsoft's charity section. And so we're getting all these... We've got different emails for different parts of the business now, which is nice. And we've been using Bunker, which has been very kindly sponsored for us by the chap who owns that particular domain. And I'm really grateful for what he's done. But time came when, you know, we've now got free access to Microsoft software and, say, new email addresses, new telephone number. It's all sort of moving forward, if you like.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. You know, and I'm lucky. I've got two guys up there who are quite into the technology and they've been a great help. I mean, when I asked for, I think I've got six different email addresses set up, and of course they come back and say, right, these are the email addresses, these are your passwords, set them up on your system. And I'm thinking, yeah, where do I start?
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So you just sort of hand it over. There you go, young fella. I want those set up, please, on all the computers.
It's always someone young, isn't it?
That's the problem, isn't it? That is the problem. But hey, you know. I mean, if I can give a little plug, thank you to White Fibre for their support. They've been brilliant in what they've done for us. And, you know, it just takes you that step higher, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it's good that it's a local company. They spot, you know, okay, we can help out and we can do.
That's right.
And that's what will get us through.
Yeah.
At the end of it all.
That's right.
So, look, every time I speak to you, there's always a new project coming up. Goodness. There's always something else happening. What else is... Let's deal with that list first.
That list,
I don't want you to go away from here thinking, oh, I never mentioned that and it was on the list.
One thing we haven't spoken about, during COVID period, we were getting amazing donations of books. Some really good quality books from families where somebody had died and whatnot. And we were getting to the stage, what are we going to do with all these books? Now, I think you know we've had a building up there, which we used to call the mess bar, the wooden barrack room.
Yeah.
In itself, a historic building, 1930s barrack room from Northwood Camp. And we've been using it as a sort of bar function room or whatever. It's never really paid its way. So my wife came up with the idea, why don't we turn it into a second-hand bookshop? So in September, we opened a second-hand bookshop. At the moment, there's about 3,000 books in there. We've probably got another 1,500, 2,000 to catalogue. They're still coming in because we've sort of put word out that it's there. And it's already, since September, during a quiet time of the year, taken more money than it would have done as a function room. So it's a big step forward. We're also going to put into that room a reference library and a couple of computers for research. So the public will be able to go up, do research on the computers, have a look in the reference library. We've also allocated a space for a 1940s living room and scullery because, again, during lockdown, we had a donation. We've got a Morrison shelter. For those that don't know, the Morrison shelter was a big metal contraption that sat in somebody's living room, was used as a dining table, and underneath it, a bed.
Right, okay. I never knew that.
No, an amazing contraption, really heavy duty, and there's photographs you'll see of you know, a family will be sat round as a table, and then later the table's cleared and there's a bed put underneath. And so that, you know, if there was an air raid, they're underneath a big metal contraption.
Oh, wow.
So they were used in places where they couldn't have an Anderson shelter outside. And I've only ever seen one live, and that's a place called Flambards down in Cornwall. I gather the Imperial War Museum have got one. we've now got one, and that's another project that's underway at the moment. Finance is one of the things that will hold us back, but we're on the way. So that's one thing. So anyone out there who's, you know, into second-hand, not only military books, there's all sorts. And one thing we have had donated is an amazing collection of wargaming items. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there into wargaming. We have got figures, we've got games, we've got books. There is a load of stuff up there, which obviously we're selling. And I can say now, quite categorically, the prices we're charging are less than you'll pay on the internet for them. So come up and see us. Have a look. And see, there may be something there to interest you.
Right, okay.
In our car park, we've got a 1940s road grader, kindly donated by Kevin Coughlin of Coughlin Transport. It's been there for some while now. In fact, it was on the site when we took over. We've made a start. We're going to be sanding it down, repainting it in War Department green. And we're going to be setting up a static display with a night watchman and a brazier and whatnot around it. So that'll be in the car park. I'm trying to get together a sort of a project team who'll come up and do the hard work, if you like, getting it painted, cleaned up and painted. So if anyone's interested in having a go at that, please come and see us. We'll be delighted.
I've never known you to be so organised.
Oh, honestly, I tell you, things have changed, you know. We've already got a 1960s Guernsey Transport little bus in the car park. And we've just made arrangements for two 1970s vehicles to come up on display in the car park. So, you know, part of the car park will now have these three buses in, which is quite a nice thing because it's diversifying where we're going and what we're doing. What I will say to people, don't be put off by the fact you might drive in and see 10 coaches, because Cardan Travel and White Coaches are both paying me very good money to use our car park for parking their coaches.
Oh, right. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, well, I've had a comment, we came in, but you had 10 coaches in the car park, so we thought you were too busy. No.
Right.
They're parking there. Okay. And really earning good money for us. That's the thing that's the important part. Pluto. You know what Pluto is?
No. Right. Well, I got two, you know, Pluto is something from Walt Disney and, yeah, and plutonium. I don't know. Is it?
Pipeline under the ocean.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Was built from the island during the early part of the war. And it went from Fawley, across to the island, and was designed to supply fuel to Normandy after the landing. Okay. If I get one or two facts slightly wrong, then I'm no doubt somebody will correct me.
Well, it won't be me.
There were a number of Pluto pumps around the south side of the island. There's still one at Sandown Zoo. I'm not sure whether it's still open for the public to see. There was also one at Bembridge Heritage Centre. Right. Now, during lockdown, Bembridge Heritage Centre had to vacate their building and move somewhere else. And they'd got this Pluto pump. Now, there are only three left in existence. The one in Sandown, the one we've now got, and one at the Imperial War Museum. Okay? So, Bembridge Heritage Centre, their new place, didn't have room for it. It's quite a big thing. Weighs 7.5 tonnes. So a couple of our volunteers have been going to Benbridge, literally dismantling it piece by piece, getting it to the museum. It's now all well established. It's back into its original condition. strangely enough, we already had some personal effects from a guy called Captain Lickins. Now, Morris Lickins was the man in charge of Pluto on the island. Many, many people of the older generation may remember him as the owner of the Savoy Country Club out at Yarmouth.
Ah, right, yeah.
Right, and which he stayed on the island. His daughter donated to us uniform, boots, revolver, all sorts of odds and ends. We've also had donated to us a number of pipes, Pluto pipes, that have been brought up from around the edge of the island. So we're in the process, beginning in March, I think, we're going to build a nice big cabinet with a Pluto exhibition in it, with a history of Pluto, what it was for, and everything else. So that's another thing which is underway. And I've got a feeling, Ian, that is just about the end of my list, mate.
Is it? Which is lucky, because we are kind of running out of time.
Oh, well, that's good then, isn't it?
Is that it?
That's it. That's it.
There's a lot of stuff there.
I'm organised. I think a lot of it is the fact that I've effectively had an extra member of staff over the last few months. And I'm starting to try and, if you like, step back.
Like Brenda?
But not
too
step
much.
Not step away.
No, good.
What I'm tending to do is getting the staff to do more of the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
So I've got time to do the planning and, you know, organising things.
Come in and talk about things.
You know, do something more in the background.
Good.
I mean, I love being up there, obviously. But there are times when you suddenly think, hang on, everything's sort of spinning around up there. So it's trying to clear out the stuff that is more mundane, if you like. And that's starting to work quite well. It takes the time, obviously. You've got to train the staff in what they have to do. That's starting to work quite well, which is allowing me to actually sit and think of ideas, plan things, and get stuff organised.
That's how it should be.
That's how it should be, isn't it?
Yeah. What's lovely, what I'm hearing is, in you know, obviously we've had COVID. That's done. It's gone. It's left a problem. It's left things to be sorted.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that, you know, you're in the process of sorting them. Things have changed. Things have moved along. You know, place now a room where you can go and look at books and so on. There's other things there that have happened over the last couple of years. So if you've not been to the museum in the last couple of years, for whatever reason, it's different. And there'll be a lot more to see than the last time you visited.
It's evolving all the time. I mean, one of the things we're working on at the moment, one of these young men with computers, is an online shop. Because all these books, there's some really, really rare items in the bookshop. And what I want to do is reach out to the widest market I can. You know, we're talking, in some instances, these books are worth 100-150 quid each.
Yeah.
And they've all been donated, so we need to take advantage of that.
Definitely.
Get the funds in.
Definitely. Well, look, I'm so glad you come down, and I'm so glad there's a lot of positives. Like you say, there is a lot of positives there. And at least, you know, you're not one of those people that will sit around and wait for something to happen. No, you're making it happen, which is a good thing. So, you know, if you're lost for something to do, not just this week, but not just next week, the week after.
Anytime.
Get yourself along to the museum, because you won't be disappointed. You really won't be disappointed.
No.
So thank you for taking the time and the trouble to come in.
My pleasure.
Can't wait until the 22nd when we do an outside broadcast. And hopefully we'll get you in before then anyway, because you'll have the time now, because you've got other people doing certain things.
I have another thing, yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely wonderful. I'm really pleased that this time I managed to make it.
Thank you, Steve.